We're starting the book of Ephesians, if you looked in your bulletin this morning. And so I did not choose to finish with the actual death of David. Some of them said, man, they were terrified that we might go into another book. And if we started 1 Kings, they were afraid I wouldn't stop. So anyway, there were so many things left out of 1 Chronicles as well. And I thought, well, let's just move on at this point, and you'll put the pieces, rest of the pieces to the life of David together as you go in your studies. But let's look in God's Word this morning. Let's take our Bibles. I want to read for you. And actually, I'm going to read through the first 14 verses, although we're only going to deal with verses 1 through 3 this morning. And just kind of a general introduction to the book of Ephesians. It'll be a tremendous blessing to you. I would like to encourage you to read through the book of Ephesians as frequently, as often as you can, as we spend time with this book, because there are wonderful things that the Apostle Paul has to say to us, and that God's Word, His Holy Spirit, recorded for us in this wonderful book. So let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and then reading through verse 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that He should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the kind intention which He purposed in Him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon earth in Him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. And this morning we just want to take a look at the Apostle Paul and his message to the Ephesians here. We're going to pick up, as you many of you are aware, in, beginning in verse 3 through verse 14 is a real, real long sentence. And it's got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in there, and some incredible truths, a real heavenly treasure and bank account for God's people. And so in the next few weeks, we'll be looking at some of those treasures. But let's consider this heavenly bank account, because in verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." And how many times does it make the term in Christ or in Him in these 14 verses? Actually 9, I know that. So, but heavenly bank account that we have in Christ. There's wonderful truths here that we want to consider this morning. And so what we want to look at and consider is from the Apostle Paul and from these first three verses this morning is what it means to appropriate the heavenly grace that God has given through Christ for the life that we live on earth. And if we were kind of wanting to summarize what Paul says in the book of Ephesians, it might well be what is taken up here in these verses, that God has determined through His Son Jesus Christ and the redemption that was wrought within in Him by faith to supply to believers everything that is necessary for walking with the Lord. And so we want to look at what it means somewhat to appropriate heavenly grace, the grace that God has given from above for this life here on earth. Now, I was thinking of an illustration this morning or this week, and there was out of Daily Bread, there was John G. Wendell. He had six sisters, and they attained a tremendous inheritance, a very wealthy inheritance. They lived in New York City for over 50 years. They lived in the same house. In fact, this brother convinced five of his sisters, five out of six of them, not to get married. And he, though they had received a huge inheritance, they hoarded and squandered this wonderful inheritance that their family had left to them. And the last sister, when she died in 1931, she had one dress. And that dress she had worn for 25 years. She made it herself and wore it for 25 years. And so, looking at their inheritance, these folks, this family, had $100 million in 1931. And the point of my illustration this morning is that for us as believers, God has given to us wonderful treasures, heavenly treasures in Christ Jesus. And so often, we are like the man with the one talent. We want to bury that thing and hoard it, and instead of receiving the full benefits that have been granted in Christ Jesus, we're often lacking in the appropriation of the heavenly grace that God has given to us for life here on earth. And so, what a wonderful message, what a wonderful thing to consider this morning as we look into God's Word and consider what it means to really draw from that heavenly bank account. There's tremendous reason for us to bless the Heavenly Father this morning. Through songs, through hymns, through our fellowship together, through life and the richness of life that God has given to us. And how sad it is for us as believers that oftentimes we're downcast and downtrodden because of hard times and because of difficulties and because of the troubles of life, when in Christ Jesus, believers have been granted all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we have these wonderful treasures in Christ. Let's look at His Word. And basically on your outline, I put down two points for you there. And we're going to look at the believers in Christ that are addressed by the Apostle Paul in these first two verses, first of all. And these believers, there's basically like three points, three things that we would look at in regard to these believers and his desire to carry or to give the Ephesians this message about appropriating God's grace in their lives. And the Ephesian church was quite an interesting place. We'll get into some of the background of it later. I didn't intend to do too much of that today, although I told Lori I read enough to write a book this week. We will kind of give some of those pieces to you as we go along. But believers are to appropriate God's provisions in Christ. And we do that and as introduced by the Apostle Paul. Let's look at verse 1 and look at the Apostle Paul. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's our verse there. But let's focus upon Paul. And I would want to point out that as Paul goes into this lofty idea of this blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I would want to point out to you that this man is in prison. And this person that is encouraging the church at Ephesus to rejoice is in prison for his faith. He is facing a time that in most people's life would be the real low point of their life. It would have to be a time when things, humanly speaking, simply aren't going well. But Paul has a focus. And as he, no doubt, was sitting here and in his prison cell, and we understand that Paul is writing from Rome. He's in prison, and the prison epistles, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon, and Philippians were probably written at the same time at what most people believe was Paul's first imprisonment there. And so he's in prison, he's writing these letters, and he's thinking in terms of the church, and no doubt spending a great deal of time in prayer for those churches. But Paul recognizes his purpose. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Here is this imprisoned apostle, one who was given the responsibilities and the burdens of the church of Jesus Christ. And the word for apostle simply means the one who is sent. And if I were to define it for you, it would be one who is called to be an official messenger, commissioned to proclaim oral and written instructions to establish and build up churches. Okay? So it's an official messenger that is commissioned to build up, to proclaim through oral and written messages and establish and build up the local churches. And so that's what Paul was doing, wasn't he? Here he was in prison, no doubt praying for the church at Ephesus, and no doubt as he was writing these words, it was after much concern and prayer pastorally for this church body. Of course, Paul had some association with the Ephesian church, and you'll remember in Acts chapter 19 that Paul actually spent 2 years there. So he cared about these people, and no doubt as he was writing, he recognized and was thinking in regard to his office, in regard to the calling of God. Now, let's remember just a few things about, I don't want to go into great detail, but let's remember a few things about Ephesians. Probably when the Apostle Paul was on a second missionary journey, and it said, if you remember in your reading in the book of Acts, perhaps you remember that it says that Paul desired to go down south into Asia at one point. And it says that the Holy Spirit prohibited him. And so probably Paul looked down and saw a city like Ephesus, a large commercial city, a very important city. In fact, the Appian Way, one of the main roads that went to Rome, went through Ephesus. And so there were these surrounding cities, and it was a place where the spread of the gospel could take place. So in my thinking, the Apostle Paul would have looked at Ephesus and wanted to go there and wanted to go down and share the gospel, but God said no. You know, you often wonder, I've often thought about, why did God say no? Because it was probably a pretty good plan, but it wasn't God's plan, was it? So God said, you remember that Paul then had a vision, and the man from Macedonia says, come over here and tell us your message. And the Apostle Paul then traveled in and carried the gospel for the first time that we know of, as recorded in Scripture, into Europe. And so there he went, and God's plan was for the gospel to spread, and he went to Philippi and Thessalonica, and then over to Corinth. And then he came back around. When he came back around, he went back to Ephesus. And there, at the beginning of his third missionary journey, he spent almost 2 years there with these believers. Many things happened there. But Paul was called as a Gentile apostle, or an apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, he was known as the chief apostle to the Gentiles. And so this would have been a major city in Asia that Paul would want to be sent, be commissioned to carry the gospel to, and would have concern for the local church body. Let me just say a couple of things about the office of apostle. What we understand in the office of the apostle is that it was a special office. In fact, there were 12 apostles that basically laid the foundation of the church. And according to what Jesus said, these 12 apostles would be, they would reign over the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Okay, so when in Acts chapter 1 Judas was taken out, the apostles recognized that, hey, we need to choose, or we need to select another apostle. And so that was the apostle Paul. No, that wasn't, was it? That was Mattathias. And they actually cast lots, and they took two men, and they said, it was stated in Scripture there in Acts chapter 1, that there were two qualifications. One was that they accompanied Christ in his earthly ministry. And you'll remember, like in the 1 John, John says that he who we handled and touched, and we proclaim to you that you may have fellowship with us. So part of the foundation of the church, the office of apostle, was that they were to have accompanied Christ and seen him and been in the presence of the Son of God who came down to earth and took upon himself flesh and dwelt among us. And so they accompanied Christ, but also said that they had to be a witness of his resurrection. And so they drew lots and cast these lots for Mattathias, and he became the 12th apostle. And no doubt in Christ's rule in the Davidic kingdom, when Christ returns, Mattathias will be there and will take one of those 12 tribes and will reign over one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But later on, the apostle Paul became apostle, and he was called, the scripture says, as a one called out of a, let's see. But the Lord said, he's speaking to Ananias, because you'll remember that the apostle Paul at that time was persecuting the church. And he said to Ananias, the Lord says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him how he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul was called later on, and he was called to be an apostle, to be sent to the Gentile church and to represent Christ before kings and before important places. And as he's in Rome here, we see the fulfillment of those very things, don't we? If you just turn over a couple of chapters, a couple of books here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this passage where the Apostle Paul is speaking of the gospel, he mentions the apostles here. And in verse 5, he says that Christ appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Okay, so that's the 12 apostles as we know them. But look at verse 7. He says, then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. So though there was an apostolic office of the 12, and though Paul had a special office as an apostle to the Gentiles, there was also a whether it's a generic term, there was also a sense in which James, the half-brother of Jesus, was called at this point an apostle. And that there evidently were others there at the church at Jerusalem in that day and time. So there's basically three ideas that we get from these verses and in regard to apostles. One is the special office of the 12 that was designated and given that they accompany Christ and witness his resurrection. Secondly, there were James and all the other apostles, so there's kind of a generic sense of some apostles, which probably has to do more with a gift of being a missionary or going out or being sent out for churches. And then thirdly, Paul was the exception, as was mentioned there in Corinthians. And he was one who was born. If you look at verse 8, the scripture says, "And last of all, as it were, one untimely born, he appeared to me also." So Paul on the Emmaus Road, Jesus appeared to him and called him in a special way to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all of this is to say that this imprisoned author recognized as he was there in prison that these were according to the purposes that the Father had for him. Purposed in Christ Jesus, called not out of his own will, out of his own desire, out of his own purposes to his own personal ambitions or it wasn't his education that provided this office for him or personal ambition, but God called him specially to fulfill these purposes. And so Paul then is called the apostle by the will of God. And he was called to communicate certain truths to the apostles and to the church, to the saints there at Ephesus. And so as an apostle, he is, the phrase there, by the will of God, simply means that position not attained by education or personal ambition or human initiative, but by appointment and by God's calling. If you think about it, those who were Pharisees, that were Paul's comrades at the time, there was not much difference, was there? Not much difference in those individuals. In the hardness that the Apostle Paul, as the chief sinner, he called himself, who persecuted the church of Jesus Christ, he was going his own way. He had attained his education under Gamaliel, and he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, his declaration in Philippians chapter 3. And he had his plan and vision and purpose for life. But all of a sudden, on the road to Damascus, God intervened. And there was a special call given to him. And it was by the will of God that Paul was called to bring this very message to the church at Ephesus. And so, a couple of points about God's will. First of all, the will of God is, it's always singular. Have you ever thought about that? You know, everything fits. Not only was the Apostle Paul called by the will of God, but as we look further in this verse, to the saints, or to those who are sanctified, or to those who are set apart. You see, Paul sees them in the same way. The will of God had purpose not only for him to be the apostle that would communicate certain things of God's grace to them, but the will of God had called them and set them apart for his purposes in Ephesus. In that city, God had placed these people. And Paul recognized something, that they were called, that God had his purpose for setting these people apart, and that there were gifts, there were things that were to be worked through the body of Christ there that were to fulfill the singular purpose of God. Think about that. That's huge. You see, God doesn't have purposes. He doesn't change his mind. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's purposes are the same, one unified purpose for God's people. For us, in this church body, God's purpose is one and the same. Now, we've got many differences. We vary in the way that we think about certain things. And we've got, there are different directions and different courses that we have taken. There are different professions that we have. But God's will, His purpose for Grace Bible Church is one singular purpose. And it embraces all of our diversity. So the Apostle Paul, who was sent by the will of God, speaks to those who are sanctified or set apart, that God has set apart for His will, for His purpose. You know what? I believe as God's people that if we understand the fullness and the richness of what the Apostle Paul is saying in these very first few words in the book of Ephesians, that we will experience a fullness and a rich relationship with one another and with our Lord that it seems to me that few attain to. But everything, you see, hinges around the will of God, that singular purpose. And we fit there. These saints fit there. The Apostle Paul, who was called, fit there. And when we embrace as God's people, God's will, and the diversity of our church body comes together, as it would in Ephesus and in these different churches that God had called, and these that He called out for His purposes, then the Word of God will go forward. The Gospel will penetrate into San Marcos, into our community, just as it did in Asia in that day. And we will see God's work being done, His will being fulfilled by His purposes. There's a unity that we can have. And one of the key messages in this book is the unity. In fact, later on, Paul will speak about the Jews and the Gentiles being one in Christ. And he'll go and spend a great deal of time with that because they didn't really like each other. And there were cultural differences and things that didn't fit good together. But God has a purpose, and His will is one unified purpose for His people. And we have the privilege in Christ of knowing that fullness of that unity. And it's something that we strive for, is it not? But let's have unity in Christ. Let's not forget what we're about and what His purposes are for us and the need for us to lay aside the things that hinder us from that one singular purpose that God has for us as individuals and corporately as a body together. It's essential and necessary for His greater good and the greater benefit of Grace Bible Church. All right, so let's look then. Let's see, one other thing. This authority is authority that is given to the Apostle Paul that displays the personal, when we talk about the will of God, we're talking about the personal desire or will, where God's authority, His purpose, and His character is displayed in the demonstration of His calling. So you look at the Apostle Paul and some of them say, well, this guy's no apostle. Who is he? I'm of Peter. I'm of Apollos, the Corinthians said. But Paul was called by God. And there, it was because of the will of God that he was called to be an apostle. And in that relationship and that reality, there's a display of the authority of God, the pleasure of God. I think that we need to associate God's will with God's pleasure. You ever thought about that? It's His pleasure. It was His pleasure to call Paul. Think about it. He that was persecuting the church, God snatched him. God took him. He put him in, pinned him in, and put him in a place where there was nowhere else for him to go. And in God's purposes, He pinned the Apostle Paul in. Have you had that experience? Have you come to a place in your life where there's just nowhere else to go? And you realize that you can't fight God anymore. And though you've tried this, and you've tried this avenue and that avenue, and you've tried to go one way or the other, and everything seems to be a stone wall. I mean, it's like you're butting your head against a brick. And you just can't seem to get and to attain that you're pursuing. And that's what Paul was doing. Purposed. studying under Gamaliel. He wanted to be in the Sanhedrin probably, and he was going to be a big shot in his day. And what happened? God abruptly brought it all to a halt. Stopped it. For his pleasure he did it. For his pleasure he drove Paul to himself. He called him to himself and said, "This is my purpose for your life, to represent me before Rome, before kings, before the Ephesians. You, I will send to represent me." And so, it's God's pleasure. God delighted that the Apostle Paul, who was contrary and destroying the Christian church, should be converted and turned in his purposes. It was for God's delight. And it's for God's delight that he called each one of us into his service, into the church, into his body.